This is the Best of Adam and Joe podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's the best of today's show with Adam and Joe.
So, we all know we can get into the particulars of how it all began. Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, tweets out a comment in support of protesters in Hong Kong. Hong Kong and China are dealing with some conflicts, and
it's complicated.
Right, it is very
complicated,
much more complicated than name, image, and likeness. As even though college coaches want to tell us how complicated it is, that's why they don't want to answer the questions. But the end result is that there's a lot of tension and the potential ending of business relationships between the nation of China, which is the second largest group of NBA fans in the world, to Americans. Although I guess, and yet certainly more than Canadians, because there's over 1.4 billion people in China. They're with two preseason games set to be played over there. The NBA has other ancillary events scheduled that China canceling.
Yeah.
NBA Cares event in Shanghai canceled today.
I understood what Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, was trying to do earlier in the week when this became a thing.
Monday.
He's trying to thread the needle. He doesn't want to. He's trying to maintain American values for an American corporation that's selling an American product, while at the same time trying to be respectful of a communist regime. I mean, there's really no other way of putting it. And Hong Kong has been and always will be a sensitive topic, just like Taiwan has been and always will be a sensitive topic. For instance, Jeremy Lin has been dealing with this because he is Taiwanese. And when they have, and China's insistence with Taiwan is that that's ours in the same way that Hong Kong is theirs. Now, I'm trying not to get over my skis here when it comes to geopolitical matters, but that's the base level here when it comes to China. So what Adam Silver and other American corporations, by the way, who have had to deal with China, the tech companies have been dealing with this for years now. But what Adam Silver learned is that it doesn't really matter what you say. China is going to take what they want and give that to their people on their state-run media apparatus. And this has now happened a couple of times where the Chinese interpretation of what Adam Silver has said does not match up with what Adam Silver has actually said. And China, through back channels, has been telling the NBA, we want an apology. Mm-hmm. And Adam Silver and the NBA have been telling China, yeah, no, we get it, but we're not going to apologize for a private American citizen offering his opinion because that's what we do.
The answer is, what are we apologizing for?
Right. Now, this is another important distinction that has been lost in all of this, and this also furthers my point with China and how they handle these things, and they think they have leverage, and they actually do have leverage, but that's another story altogether.
They do and they don't.
It's leverage in terms of the people and resources and things like that, but that's probably a matter better suited for like an NPR All Things Considered discussion. But here's one thing I can say with extreme confidence. Daryl Morey tweeted an image that is automatically scrubbed from geofenced Chinese internet.
Right.
So if you're a Chinese citizen, first and foremost, you can't even get on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see it.
Twitter is banned.
Right.
That is a social
you
media service that is banned. But let's say you actually are on a Chinese social media platform like, I think it's called Weimo, and there's another one. Let's say you're on one of those, or TikTok, which is popular here in the States with teenagers, but TikTok has another purpose in China. That image scrubs, never shows up. So not a soul, technically, unless they're using workarounds, was able to see what Daryl Morey tweeted. The Chinese people are only getting what the Chinese government is letting them know. And that's always been the case with the Chinese government.
Right.
So the NBA is sitting here trying to go like, whoa, 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 hold on a second now. You're not even telling the full story. And that's where I think Adam Silver and everybody else is now bucking, I guess, against China.
Well, I said this Tuesday. It seems to me like Adam Silver has already resigned himself to the possibility that the Chinese money, however much they get, and it's a lot, is ultimately going to go away. Because what he said Tuesday was much more in line. Well, yesterday, today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
What he said yesterday was much more in line with what you would expect from Adam Silver. It was not word salad. Let's hear Adam Silver.
The long-held values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression, and certainly freedom of expression by members of the NBA community. And in this case, Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right as one of our employees. What I also try to suggest is I understand that there are consequences from that exercise of in essence, his freedom of speech. And, you know, we will have to live with those consequences. It's my hope that for our Chinese fans and our partners in China, they will see those remarks in the context of now a three-decade, if not longer, relationship.
They won't.
Well, whether they will or not,
they
right?
won't, because China won't let them.
Okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
If you're the NBA, why not just pack up and come back? The two games you were going to play, which are now not going to be shown on Chinese television, they're pulling down decals off buildings. Yeah. They're canceling charitable events.
Yeah, this is China flexing, right? Flexing their power of what they can do.
And all of this is because this is the reaction of the Chinese government to something that their citizens didn't even see.
Is it?
Okay.
Right? So this is an important distinction here.
Don't grovel. Come home.
Yeah.
Go to Japan. Go to India. There's a billion people in India. They like basketball too.
Well, they got their own political issues that they deal with too.
Who doesn't have political issues?
But that's globalization. And that's something that American companies, not just the NBA, but American companies in general have had to deal with in the last several decades as we've become a much more global society, that there are two sets of values. You have American values and you have other countries' values. And you're willing to at least entertain the idea of doing business with them if everybody understands the values are different and you're going to respect the other values. But the problem is that China is feeling themselves right now, for lack of a better term, because they have a lot of people, obviously, who are potential customers. And the other important part, especially when it comes to technology matters, like Apple, right? Apple is heavily invested with China because not only do they have a lot of potential customers, but a lot of the elements necessary to make things like what's in my hand right now, an iPhone, you know where you get that stuff from?
Right.
China. I'm not talking about the software. I'm not talking about the brain power. I'm talking about the actual physical parts needed to make these things. A lot of those precious elements are coming out of China right now. So Apple has had to both invest in China and pull out at times because of those competing values. Google has had to deal with this too.
That's normal big business in the world.
Where their openness has been roadblocked by China. So the NBA is dealing with this now, and what they have to come down to is ride the balance of your values versus more money. And I'm with you in the sense that right now the NBA is probably going to be like, all right, guys, we tried, but we're going to go ahead and just pull out of this, and maybe we'll revisit in a couple of years, just like every other company has come out and revisited these types of things.
Ultimately, if China wants to deny their own citizens the pleasure of watching NBA basketball,
well, I mean, that's,
because that's what it is,
that's
right?
on brand for them. They'll deny their citizens a lot.
100%. I get it.
Yes.
I get it. If they want to do that, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And Adam Silver is not going to prevent that. Apart from compromising his own and the league's own values. So I get that players have individual deals with Chinese companies. Klay Thompson's sneaker, Anta, is a Chinese sneaker.
James Harden's not the only one. He's got
right?
his own deal, yeah.
They all have deals over
especially
there.
Especially the Rockets, right?
Well, the Rockets did. The Rockets lost
That's
money.
Right. That's
it,
right.
It cost them money.
Well, they don't exist in China now. No, I'm serious. Right. They've been disappeared because that's what they can do.
Yao Ming's team, right?
Yes, and Yao Ming is mad too.
He is. He's hot, according to Adam Silver.
One last point about this. This is for lack of a better term, this is what I would call like a grad student level discussion. This is something that if you're in college, like when I was at NC State, by the time I got to my senior year at NC State, I was doing business management. There was a couple classes that I took about business ethics, morality, you know, balancing your corporate culture versus your own personal needs and everything else. This is a conversation that is really fascinating. I've been fascinated by it the entire week. However, there's a flip side to this, and that this conversation is also a vehicle for people who have a grudge with the NBA, and they're currently getting in that vehicle, firing it up, and going straight on at the NBA. And I'm talking about the people who like to talk about woke culture a very dismissive way. You know who I'm talking about.
I know
the
exactly
who you're talking offender, about. The worst offender, though, is former governor of North Carolina, Pat McCrory, who's doing the media rounds right now talking about, well, look at these hypocrites who took the All-Star game out of Charlotte because of HB2. Right. All right, first off, two different sets of values, all right?
Right, and U.S. human rights,
yes,
are way more important than international human
yes.
rights.
Yes, and Pat McCrory will look for any opportunity to hop on and basically be like, hey, look, I'm just fine for me, you know, all this other stuff. So he can go jump in a lake of fire. And also, I like guys like Josh Parcell over at WFNZ. I actually caught up with a couple of those guys yesterday. Josh Parcell had Pat McCrory on the radio today. Dude, I hope the high was worth it. Because that's crap. To put him on in that situation, all you're doing is giving him a platform to spew stupidity.
Well, unless you challenge him. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't listen to the interview, so I'm not saying I'm not going to accuse Josh Parcell of doing that.
Or Rodman. Dennis Rodman tweeted out today, hey, send me. He knows
diplomacy. Adam Silver, I know a thing or two about diplomacy. Book me a ticket to Shanghai with you.
I mean,
Ambassador Rodman.
Is Rodman wrong?
Ambassador Rodman.
Well,
is he wrong? Did he not broker North Korea?
I'm going to say Rodman's wrong. Roy Williams called you big fella?
Yeah, let's get to that, shall we?
Shall we include that on the assembly
line? Yeah, let's put it on. Let's put it
on
the Take Factory floor.
The Take Factory.
Yeah, we'll get to the Canes in a second, but there was something at the end of yesterday's conversation with head coach Roy Williams of North Carolina. I don't know how much of it you aired, but I'm assuming you aired.
We aired a lot of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was Roy Williams to me as we wrapped up the conversation at ACC Operation Basketball. Roy Williams, ACC Operation Basketball. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, big fella. Be good.
Thank you, big fella. Be good. Now, he referenced you at one point, you know, with your partner Gold in golf. Now, this could be taken one of two ways, and I don't know Roy Williams personally like that, so I don't know.
Endearing.
Is that because he blanked on my name?
No,
which is entirely entirely possible.
He would never forget.
I am of the attitude. I'm being sincere here, people.
No,
okay,
not a chance.
I'm being sincere here. Where I do not come in with an attitude of you should know who the hell I am.
Right.
I never think that way. Like the one time Rod Brindamore forgot who I was. That's okay. I had a beard. I looked different. It's fine.
You always have a beard.
No, like I think like the last time he saw me.
Okay.
Didn't. Regardless, or he either forgot who I was or. He was basically acting like I was a player where he's calling me like a tough little nut, big feller.
Well, you're bigger than him.
Big fella. Be good.
So
you are bigger than him.
How do I take that?
I mean, it is possible that he forgot your name.
Okay. Alec, you have an opinion on this?
I don't think he forgot your name, but it's possible.
What do you think?
It sounds like he forgot your name.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. I didn't know how to interpret that. On my drive home from Charlotte, the 3-hour in traffic drive yesterday.
Did you think about that?
I thought about it the entire time. Did he know who I was? Did he not? I don't. What did that mean? I was confused.
He knows who you are. He just doesn't remember your
name. Well, he clearly knows the context because he referenced Gold.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, it's that other guy
us.
With Gold.
Right.
Okay. And I even tried to like butter him up with golf talk.
It's great. That was.
I mean, did you hear? Did
some
you hear
of our favorite stuff?
Did you hear? I set it up too.
What the?
The golf question?
I don't remember.
No, because I just played the.
I just played the
answer. Okay.
So I started off with Roy Williams, and all right, you know, all right. I guess we got to start with the topic of conversation that really has taken over a good part of the summer, and everybody's talking about it. And he's looking at me like, all right, here comes name, image, and likeness.
Right.
And I said. Slow play on the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do here?
He plays in 3 hours.
No, when he said he played in 3 hours, I was like, what?
Yeah. He's got his special Roy tee time. He tees off at 7 a.m.
Yeah. That makes sense because as I joked with him, there's no way there are people ahead of you like you.
I have a very close source that tells me about the Roy tee time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Special time.
Yeah, it's his special time.
Perfect.
And he goes off in the morning before anyone's out there.
First out.
If you go, I bet if you go onto the website, the USGA website that keeps the official one that keeps handicaps, and you go to, if you go to Finley, bet you can find his handicap.
Is that where he keeps it? He probably keeps it at his club.
Or whatever club he is. But if you go on the website,
I don't know, but it's got to be Carolina Country Club.
If you go on Chapel Hill Country Club.
If you go to Chapel Hill Country Club, if you look up Roy Williams on there. You'll find a Santa cap.
I'm sure.
And you know he keeps it. Not everybody does, but you know he keeps
golfer.
It. All right, next up.
Hi-ho!
Are the Carolina Hurricanes going to lose a game?
I said this the other day. The answer is no.
82-0.
82-0. This one didn't go overtime, so they didn't give away a point to the Florida Panthers.
Disappointed.
CBSSports.com has Carolina number one in their power rankings today. Not kidding.
They're running away with it. Look at the Metro scores last night. Everyone lost except the Canes.
That's right. Look, they legitimately could be good, so let's just prepare for that.
It is entirely possible. Although Reimer stood on his head last night, there were a lot of missed opportunities for the Panthers yesterday.
I said on Twitter, Canes played their worst game. Twitter reacted as you might expect.
Of course they did.
Rod Brindamore in the post game said we played our worst game.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, even to this hockey noob here, I watched last night going, thank goodness for Reimer because. Dang.
Reimer, Slavin, Joel Edmondson, Dougie Hamilton all played Brett Pesce all played so well defensively that it masked the fact that they were giving up tons of shots.
Next up. So NC State basketball player DJ Funderburk was suspended indefinitely last week. Joe Giglio of the News and Observer found out why. According to
amazing story.
Old Giglio. Funderburk was charged with larceny property damage on September 25th by NC State University Police. Funderburk had multiple outstanding parking tickets, had four car boots placed on the tires of his vehicle while he was at Reynolds Coliseum on Jeter Drive. At 6:02 p.m., Funderburk, wait for it, drove off with two of the boots on his car.
Yeah, and he had the other two also, I think.
Or maybe damaged the other two. On the concrete surface lot of the lot, $330 of damage, along with the car boots being valued at $70 a piece. That's a Simpsons episode.
I thought the boots on the wheels were supposed to render the car undrivable.
Technically, yes, but you can, if you want to, gun it and make some motion. You can go with them, but you're going to wreck your car. That's the point of the boot.
Yes, I don't get that.
That's the point of the boot. You could, but you're going to wreck your car.
So he willingly wrecked his car?
I guess
so. By the way, when I read that story, what shocked me was the damage to the concrete was valued at $50. What kind of damage to the concrete is $50?
I don't know. I don't know where you're getting your concrete from.
Scratched the concrete?
You're going to Blaylock Paving? You got a deal?
Come on. You're getting a bag of Quikrete.
That must be. No. It's not Quikrete. It's that stuff that you can get that you put in the caulk gun. It's like it's supposed to be like cement that you could fill a hole with.
Rubber cement?
Yeah, that's the case. Look,
that was the dumbest thing ever.
Look, man, I feel DJ Funderburk, anybody who's ever been to college and just tried to park on a college campus knows full damn well how bad it can get with getting parking tickets. I'm still mad 20 years later, the ticket I got in Chapel Hill when I was visiting Kelly at Carmichael Dorm, I was 5 minutes before the lots technically become open to anybody without a parking pass, right? Five minutes!
Yeah.
If it was 7 o'clock, I was there at 6:55. It was 8 o'clock, 7:55. I forgot exactly the time, but I know I was 5 minutes before it was a free-for-all.
So you admitted to breaking the law.
5 minutes!
But you admit. That's what,
and I got a ticket when I came back out.
I got a ticket driving like 7 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Yeah.
That's
brutal.
Well, I hear that story of Funderburk, and I go, that's it? Phew. Thank God.
With all the things that sometimes we see in the headlines.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, you just went ham on some parking boots?
Yeah.
All right.
Seriously.
Who hasn't had that fantasy?
How badly did he have to get somewhere?
Yeah, well, if you're missing practice.
Well, he was at
Reynolds, though.
It's not that far, man. He could have run over to Weisinger Brown.
Weisinger Brown's not that far away.
It's like a half mile, maybe. Let's get to the country.
Holy goodness smokes!
The pride of Elon University. The one, the only, the voice of everything you love to listen to, Wes Durham, he joins us.
Really? Are we doing this?
Yeah, are we doing this?
So, Wes.
How are we doing this?
I wish there was something funny about that, but it's really embarrassing.
No.
When did... When did you realize that you might need readers?
When I was doing a game in Tallahassee one night at the Donald Tucker Center, and the twos and the fives and the sixes from a distance on the scoreboard all kind of looked the same.
Yeah, that's where I am right now.
So how's your voice? You're kind of getting froggy there at the end of ACC Media Day. You're very popular.
Well, no, it's I've been fighting a combination of allergies and airplanes for about 3 weeks here. So I'm doing okay. I don't have a Saturday game this week on our package, so that'll help a little bit. By the time I get back from Arizona on Monday, then hopefully I'll be close to 100% again.
So I have a bone to pick with you.
Ooh.
And the ACC Network.
Get something to drink here.
Okay. Whose idea was it to put the set, the ACC Network set in which you did your show, Packer and Durham, and all the other shows, right next to the freaking escalator?
I don't know that.
Because I felt awkward. Like, am I supposed to be here? Should I go take the elevator? Am I getting in the shot?
Well, like right at the top of the stairs?
You get to the elevator. No, it wasn't the Westin. It was at the Marriott.
Oh, okay.
So you go up the escalator, and all of a sudden, it's like I make eye contact with Wes at one point. I'm like, oh, God, should I be here?
Why wasn't it at the Westin? What happened? What happened to the relationship with the Westin?
I don't know why they did it at the Marriott.
Did somebody tweet out support for the Marriott? But then we were having a... Like protest with the.
But then
ACC has an affiliation with both venues, yeah. Adam.
But later, I did find out in talking to a big muckety muck about saying, oh, no, they want people walking around the shot to make it look busy. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, that's fair.
That's fine. I felt awkward at first, though.
No, it was good. In fact, it was a really good show for us. And I think the guys behind us for 3 hours with all ACC, I talked to their producer, Brian Ives. Mm-hmm. A little bit after they were done, they were thrilled with the way things turned out. And I think it was great coverage of Operation Basketball, to be honest.
A way to worthy big producer man now.
All right, how much?
Yeah, no, Brian's great.
Look, when we go down there, I mean, I didn't go. Joe's there, and we go down there sort of with.
You were missed, Adam.
Of course I was.
I got plenty of, like, where's Gold?
Nah. Okay.
Kay was like, this will be less purgatory than it usually is.
How much of this was spent talking about name, image, and likeness?
From our perspective, not a lot. However, I think in the journalism room, the media room, I think there was a lot of it. From our perspective, we were more about, you know, the name, image, and likeness thing for us. It's a bigger conversation. In our show, in Packer and Durham, I can tell you, I think it's a much bigger conversation than just what the basketball coaches think. It's important, but I think what we're talking about when we get to name, image, and likeness is going to be in the offseason. And how does this process, how does this work? How does the balance occur in this? How does name, image, and likeness get governed? Not just by states, but by whatever organization is going to oversee intercollegiate athletics when it does hit. Because we all know the NCAA is going to have to go through a restructure.
Right.
That's the bigger conversation for us. So, therefore, it wasn't very big on our show. Our show was more about the ability to find out if Duke, Carolina, Virginia, and Louisville are the four favorites in one form or another, who else is also in that boat? And I think we've kind of brought Miami along. I think we brought Florida State along. Florida State, Notre Dame, I think is somebody you ought to keep an eye on. And I think that Miami, if things go right early, Miami could also be a factor.
Florida State and Notre Dame, I don't want to call them trendy picks, but they do check off the box of teams that you should like, at least on paper, in terms of experience, too.
Correct, yeah.
And Notre Dame just got hit with a series of unfortunate events last year as well.
I think the one thing, let me add this real quick, sorry to cut you off, is that I think – Florida State and Notre Dame also present the one thing that we know you can be successful in this league if, and that is both teams have experienced guard play. Mm-hmm. And that matters in the ACC. Not that you can't do it without it. It's just a little more difficult if you don't have it.
Duke has that as well in Trey Jones returning.
Absolutely.
The question, of course, is how does this group of freshmen interplay with some of the older guys? Mm-hmm. And then with Carolina, I mean, Roy Williams would be the first one to tell you all day yesterday. The biggest concern that they have is, we got Cole Anthony, and he's, absolutely deserving of the attention, but they have to replace a whole wealth of scoring and experience from that team, and that's going to be difficult to do. I think you're going to have some growing pains. So I think for whatever reason, maybe I'm interpreting this the wrong way, but this has the potential to be a much more wide-open ACC than it has been over the last couple of years, where you clearly had a tier one that was Duke, North Carolina, Virginia. I think it's going to be a little wide open this year.
I agree with that, and I think there's also going to be a team who is projected in the bottom five, if you will, that in the preseason that makes a move to either the high middle or lower top, if that makes sense. The lower fifth or the middle, the high middle fifth, if you will, or middle five. I think there's a team like Clemson, okay? And people say, well, you know, Clemson was not any good and they lost Elijah Thomas and they lost the guards. And why Clemson? Well, because I think that there's some addition by subtraction there. I think Amir Sims had a really, really good offseason. His numbers in the World University Games are really good. And Brad Brownell was optimistic in talking about him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something there at Clemson that team, you know, grew together in the offseason, and they came together in part and parcel because of a lot of the things that happened last year. And they wouldn't be the first team to have a bad year one year and a good year the next year, right? And I think it's going to be interesting to watch Clemson, but I would definitely loop Florida State, Notre Dame, and possibly Miami, especially after hearing Jim Larranega talk about Rodney Miller's offseason, where he's now lost 45 pounds and in the best physical shape of his career.
Ooh, I got to get on that plan.
So do I.
If we're crediting guard play, where does NC State fall into this mix? Because, look, Markell Johnson, I think the bigger issue with Markell is he rarely puts two great halves of basketball together.
Right.
But if Markell Johnson can be one of the best guards in the league, and there are times where he looks like it, why can't State be, not obviously in that top tier, but why can't they be a team that causes problems in the middle?
Well, certainly I think NC State can, Adam. I think NC State is probably more than ready to be a part of it. I think the question you have to find with NC State is, you know, kind of how's it all going to work together, if you will. For instance, you know, we're going to get more out of Jericho Helms. We're going to get more out of, you know, C.J. Bryce night in, night out.
Well, they need D.J. Funderburk to park his car better.
Well, maybe, you know, that case needs to, be resolved.
Right.
You know, they've got the young man Danny Dixon, who is a big kid who can be a presence inside. But let's be honest. If Braxton Beverly and Markell Johnson are good night in and night out, they're going to be good. And Beverly is the best, one of the better perimeter shooters in the league, which you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
But Markell Johnson, offensively and defensively, can be one of the best guards in this league if he can put it together night in and night out. And I think, look, it's a fair question, but it's also one of these things, too, where we've got to look at NC State and say, hey, wait a second. You know, open up with Georgia Tech. What's the next step behind that? How does it work for you? Where do you go from the process of – you know, from the time you play Georgia Tech to the time you go to Wake Forest and when you play Wisconsin at home, how much do you grow in that five-game stretch? And, by the way, you get Memphis too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you play Memphis, Wisconsin, Wake Forest, by December 15th when you go to Greensboro to play Wes Miller and UNCG and then Auburn on the road, how are you? What kind of basketball team are you going to have? Because we're going to know a little bit more about NC State maybe than we do the others from a discovery standpoint, based on the way their games fall in that first 3 weeks or 5 weeks of the season.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us on the Alan Kelly and Company Train Hotline. Let's switch over to football. Alec, do we have Dabo? The Roy bus is back.
I love this.
Rest
by
of y'all.
The way. This is one of my favorite things I've heard in 2 weeks.
So here's Dabo Swinney, the head coach at Clemson, dusting off the Roy bus.
I had open week, so I went back out to the shed this week, and I took the tarp off the Roy bus, just took it off. You know, I thought we were off the Roy bus for a while. I just took it off, pumped the tires back up, gave it a bath, a little oil change, ran down there to the $5 oil change, fluffed up the seats a little bit. We're back on the Roy bus, man. I mean, here we go.
This tells me Wes Clemson is truly back.
Rest of y'all.
Hey, I want to tell you something. He was waiting on America to give him this window.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, you people that were dying to pick at Clemson, move them down the whole bit, right?
Wait, were you Chuck Amato? You people.
You people.
You people.
You people. The people that were waiting, you know, this, you know, the fight promoter who said that Ohio State would easily beat Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Fight promoter.
I'm just telling you, the Roy bus is back and he's ready to ride. And yeah, all you did was give him the ammo he needed. Tell me is he not the best?
Oh, he's great.
No, he's a soundbite machine.
Now he can.
But
be,
do you think their team is bad?
No.
Who thinks their team is bad?
A lot of people do.
Nobody thinks their team is bad.
Well, the only people who think the team is bad are people who just have an axe to grind with Clemson or the ACC.
But even those people don't think their team is bad. They think the league is bad. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of knocking Clemson down because of it.
But nobody really, and I talked to a few of your colleagues at the ACC Network yesterday, including a new one, Carlos Boozer. He was added to the ACC Network for basketball coverage.
A great beard game.
Dude, his beard game was off the charts. I almost broke. I talked to him.
G.I. Joe beard game.
I talked to him for a little bit. I almost want to be like, dude, what's your secret? Like, what are you using on that thing, man? That is incredible. So
fertilizer.
But I talked to Jordan Cornette, and you know, just on the general topic of, look, we can trash the ACC all day, and your guess is as good as mine as to who like the second best team in the ACC is. But if they run the table, they win the ACC championship game.
They're going.
Well, of course they are.
They're going. Why is this even a conversation?
Because it's fun, and it's another way that we could possibly put seven SEC teams in the college football playoffs.
Right.
Because we're going to hype up, you know, we're going to hype up the Auburn train a while. We're going to hype up the, you know, we're still trying to convince people that Ole Miss can play football. We're still trying to convince people that Vanderbilt and Kentucky and woe is me Tennessee, who, you know, that they're going to be good in football. South Carolina's now got a heartbeat when Sam Howell took South Carolina's heart on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, it's tiresome to me. That's why I keep, you know, telling you this, the Clemson thing, the Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and Oklahoma. That's really about it. That's really LSU. I'll give you LSU if they win Saturday. Okay.
LSU hosts Florida.
They do. And right. I'll give you the August national champions, the LSU Tigers, who
Thought Texas A&M was the August national champion.
No, the August national champions were Texas, LSU, and Michigan for like the last 3 years.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
No,
it's
no,
true.
No. I'm not. You amuse me. That's why doubting the veracity of what you said.
When signing day used to be in February, you know who the national champion was then? Every February, Georgia.
Right.
They were the national champion in signing days. Oh, did you see our class? We're going to win the national championship. And every year they'd stub their toe. So all I'm saying is that Clemson goes undefeated, they're going to get
there.
I went through this drill in Dallas last week. If Clemson gets there, they're going to be in the champion. They're going to be in the playoff. It's just that simple. Right. So all they have to really do is win. Now, if they lose – all bets are off, although I still think they and Alabama get a swing on the house, but mm-hmm. all bets are off in terms of the slam dunkedness of Clemson's appearance.
So tomorrow, West Ham joining us in Charlotte.
Ooh yeah, here we go.
Syracuse, NC State, Carter Finley Stadium. Man,
I'm up to speed on the orange, by the way.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I know. You've seen plenty of orange. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm at the point with some of these games, I think one thing – they go in a complete different direction. For instance, Duke Pitt. I thought Duke going into that game was the better team, except that Pat Narduzzi seems to have David Cutcliffe's number. Miami Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech looked like they were dead. They were dead.
Yeah.
Nope, 28-0, and ended up being a little bit weirder than that, but still. So, I mean, I think I know NC State, but I also know that Tommy DeVito can light you up if the moon is right. What are we getting tomorrow?
Well, first of all, having seen Pittsburgh a couple times and followed NC State and watched the Florida State game, NC State, you know, two things. One, I think NC State has to run the ball. Mm-hmm. I think that is a premium, because if you run the ball, you burn the clock and you put stress on Syracuse and their tempo. That's number one. Number two is this. I think NC State has to make sure that they do a really good job in the 5 to 12 yard windows against Syracuse. Because if you look at Syracuse, a lot of the stuff they do out of their offense is in that window, that 7 yard area between 5 and 12 yards. So, you know, run four, put the other seven in coverage, but make sure you keep the game in front of you. If you let them get by you in that window, that's how Taj Harris gets big plays. It's really how Tristan Jackson gets plays, and now they're starting to incorporate the tight end Aaron Hackett a little bit. So you got to keep an eye on that. I think NC State should win the game. I think they can win the game. And in reality, State's probably two games off the mark they want to be, and Syracuse is one off the mark they want to be. So it should be a hell of a fight, though, because I think both teams have still a lot left despite some injuries. And I'm waiting to see kind of how Sam Heckel is, if he starts at center for Syracuse and they move Aaron Service back to left tackle. I'm not so sure that Aaron Service is not better at center than left tackle, but I'll let James Smith Williams and the Wolfpack kind of determine that tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, the two lines of scrimmage really have been the problem for NC State. Offensive line and defensive line with injuries, both have injuries.
Yeah, Syracuse pretty good up front. I mean, they don't have McKinley Williams in the lineup yet. Josh Black has been nice. The two linebackers for the Orange, Armstrong and Lakeem Williams, are nice players. The other thing tomorrow night is see if Andre Sisco is full speed. He missed the last two ball games following Clemson. And keep an eye on him. He's a playmaker, not a great tackler, though, guys. Sisco has not had a very good sophomore year from a tackling perspective yet for the Orange.
We have a signature football game this week that is going to be a blowout. I think we all agree that Clemson-Florida State is probably not going to be a great game, although maybe Florida State, with their overall athleticism and raw talent, can keep it close. Maybe Clemson still isn't quite off the Roy bus yet, according to Dabo Swinney. But at some point, the league has to get back to having its football schools be their best schools. Yeah. So Florida State, last week, the signature game, because of all the off weeks, was Virginia Tech-Miami, but we all kind of laughed at that game. It was right?
Gross.
We all kind of laughed at it. And to me, that's where this part of the schedule, I know it's going to get better, but this part of the schedule it screams out for a signature game.
Well,
and we don't have it.
Adam, last year Clemson dealt Florida State its worst home loss since being a member of the ACC.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the reality of it is that Florida State will have to play as well as they've played all year to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson has to help you. Okay, for Clemson and Alabama to lose this year, they have to help the other team. I think that Clemson kind of helped Carolina a little bit. They didn't help them enough. And Clemson, no disrespect to the job Carolina did, because I thought Carolina played great. They made the right call at the end, the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Clemson didn't show their fastball. They didn't have their fastball, right? And they won the game. I think for me, Florida State cannot fall behind early in this game if they want to have a chance to stay in it. And even if they stay in it, I'm not sure they can win it. I think Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne bust out on the Noles. The Noles have been better on defense, but let's don't mistake Florida State for, you know, a team like Virginia mm-hmm. on defense.
Right.
I mean, they've got plenty of talent. Certainly Marvin Wilson will wreck your day. But I'm not convinced yet that Florida State's all the way back, despite the presence of Jim Leavitt, who has seemingly done some nice work for them on the defensive side.
Again, just my larger point is that this is what the league needs. Just like in basketball, if Florida State and Miami and Virginia Tech are three legitimately good nationally ranked teams, but Duke and Carolina are just kind of okay – or worse, then the perception is the league's bad. Mm-hmm. And if your football schools aren't good, the the nation is going to look at it and go, your football league's bad.
You're right. You're right. And look, and I don't want it to take away from any of the good work being done in Winston-Salem. But it is.
I think they're legitimately good.
Yeah, they're a legitimately good team. But the problem is, it will be in the same boat with the SEC. Let's say that Kentucky truly gets their act together, right?
Sure.
Or I guess the analogous would actually be Vanderbilt.
That's correct. With Wake Forest, it's always Vanderbilt.
It's always Vanderbilt. Right? So let's say Vanderbilt truly gets their act together.
Right.
And they actually compete to win a division. How are we talking about the SEC?
That it's not a great league.
Right. I mean, we would use
But here's the problem. Nobody blew Vanderbilt up in the month of July to tell us how great they were going to be, and then they won three games.
There is that. I guess that's the opposite of what happens
like,
in the SEC.
I was told Ole Miss was going to be good.
Yeah, about that.
I was told Mississippi State was going to be good.
Yeah.
I was told Tennessee was going to be good, and I forgot that Eisenhower's not president, so it can't be possible that Tennessee's going to be.
That's the SEC reality distortion field at work. The ACC has the opposite.
Better known as fight promoting.
The ACC has the opposite problem in that we don't think much of Wake Forest, but they have a long history of having this kind of cycle. All right,
sure.
And they're in that cycle right now. It's not their fault that they're playing good football at the same time Florida State and Virginia Tech and Miami, or to a certain extent Louisville, is hitting the reset button. It's not their fault this is happening. They're simply just taking advantage of it.
Correct, and you probably ought to get Riley Skinner on the phone because this scenario for Clawson, Wake Forest was good in 06, and it happened to be with the culmination of a lot of veteran guys on the team, right? Mm-hmm. But it also happened at a time when, let's be honest, Florida State was kind of trending down at the end of kind of where Bobby Bowden was headed, right?
They went to Tallahassee for an unconquered uniform night.
And beat them.
And beat them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a very, very special year. It seems to be playing out that way again this year. But the difference, of course, now is that there is no Clemson is so good that Wake Forest is not going to get an opportunity to actually go to a championship game.
Well, and here, I agree, but it should not diminish from the fact that the league is a lot better now. Look, let's be honest. The most disappointing team of the teams we thought would be toward the front right now is Boston College because they can't get stops. I mean, they essentially played a Big 12 game last Saturday.
Where did their defense go? Steve Adazio needs dudes.
It's the great mystery of ACC football this year.
That actually, I never thought Adazio was on the hot seat, but because they can't defend – and that is something that Boston College has really always been able to do. I do wonder about him.
All right, here's the other thing. And we talked about it on the show the other day, and it's still a factor. And it's going to be a factor until we have a little more stability, and it may take another 3 to 4 weeks of the season to get it. We have seven schools, half this league, that have started more than one quarterback in a game this year. That's not good.
No.
And again, not only do we have seven schools that have started different quarterbacks, we also have this thing where the offensive line play is like the Hope Diamond. If you find good offensive line play, you value it and cherish it and put it in a safe deposit box because
it's the Fabergé egg.
It is. From Risky Business. Nice choice.
Next, by the way, we have to run, but next week we're going to start projecting the college football playoff.
A little early, don't you think?
It's never too early.
All right.
It's never too early. Have a great week.
Go Canes, by the way.
All right. I'm 4-0, man.
I know.
Thank you very
there
much.
It is.
All right, sir.
Be well. Take care, guys.
All right, West Durham. Appreciate it, as always.
You've been listening to the Best of Adam and Joe podcast. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also drops every weekday evening at 7. Thanks again for listening to the Best of Adam and Joe podcast.